We're going to talk now a little bit about the politics of what's happening of today, and particularly, I suppose, following on a couple of days from thousands of farmers protesting in Athlone in relation to the European Council approving the Mercosur trade deal between the European Union and several South American countries. The question is being asked now about those fears. Will they come true? And what will happen in the plenary vote, which is due to happen either in February or March in relation to the same deal? With me on the line is Ireland South MEP Sean Kelly. Sean, good morning to you and thanks for joining me this morning. No doubt you want to pay tribute to Sean O'Shea, first of all.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very saddened to hear he has passed away, because I knew him very well. I came across him several times. He was an absolute gentleman, very cultured, wonderful for our language, and reflected everything I think that was good about Ireland generally, and was a great man to engage in Kerry, Cork banter, etc. So he's a huge loss, but he's made a massive contribution and there's a great legacy there after him. Wonderful man. May he rest in peace.
Indeed. Sean, on to matters at hand, though. You've been watching on along with everybody else in relation to Mercosur and relation to the deal that was approved by the European Union last Friday. What did you make of the protest then on Saturday? Farmers and other groups not happy with the European Union for the approval of this deal.
Yes, that was largely organised by independents. And independents really aren't answerable to anybody. They just go with the flow. But at the same time, there have been strong concerns by farming organisations regarding some of the aspects of Mercosur. But we have to look at it in the overall context. And certainly I'll be looking at all the facts and figures before I make up my mind one way or the other. Because when you look at it, there are real concerns. But it's not all about the farmers as an entirety, because this has been missed completely. If we have a trade deal with Mercosur, dairying and tillage are going to benefit, because there will be big opportunities for dairy products and for chocolate and for spirits to increase rather than decrease exports to Mercosur, which is a combination of four countries: Argentina, Brazil, Uruguay and Paraguay, making up almost 300 million people. So we have to look at all the facts and figures. And then, of course, we have to assess, quite rightly, the concerns that the beef industry in particular has expressed, and to see the safeguards which we fought for, and I actually specifically asked the Commissioner Sefcovic for a number of months ago to see will they help to alleviate any problems that may arise. There's no guarantee there will be major problems as outlined. Some of those fears may not come into being at all, because the history of over 70 trade agreements which we have done in the European Union is that trade, bilateral trade, grows by over 30%. And in 1 year, because I was down there as the chair of the New Zealand-Australian delegation, in 1 year, the trade deal between New Zealand and European Union has grown trade by 30%. So that's a benefit to all companies who are exporting.
But do you not recognise the concerns the farmers have? Trade might grow, but actually they're winners and losers in that trade. What happens if they're outfought, outbeaten, outcompeted by the other countries?
Now, that's a very valid point. But let's look at the facts. The facts are that already there are 200,000 tonnes of beef coming in from Mercosur into the European Union. We are talking about an extra 99,000 tonnes, which equates to 1.5% of European consumption, which is one burger per person per year in Europe. So we have to assess, is that really going to have the huge negative influence that's going to destroy beef farming across Europe, or is it not? And then also, the safeguards which have been put in place and which we'll be voting on finally in the European Parliament next week, where that if there's a 5%, not 10%, we reduce the 5% disruption of the market, that the trade aspects of that Mercosur agreement can be suspended. So we have to look at that as well. So we've taken everything into account. There are huge pressures one way or another, but we have to, in the overall context, take a balanced view. And that is the key at the moment, to have a debate overall and see where it's landing.
Yeah, just on the farming though, are you dismissing the concerns, the safety concerns that Irish farmers will have about the quality and what's done to Argentinian or Brazilian beef before it comes in here? Or are you saying the safeguards that have been agreed means that, you know, antibiotic treated beef won't get into the Irish food system?
There are already 200,000 tonnes coming to Europe. Brazil is exporting to over 100 countries across the globe. And are we really serious to think that those 100 countries are continuously taking in food that's going to lead to ill health amongst their citizens? As of now, Ireland, unfortunately, and I think unfairly, are locked out of the Chinese market. All beef is locked out of the Chinese market, whereas Brazil is increasing their exports to it. So you have to look at it in the overall context. And there are checks, and the checks will be stronger. And even the recent case where food was returned, how that happened was that the Brazilian authorities themselves were suspicious what was going on. They notified the European Union, and it was withdrawn. That happens sometimes with different products. We've seen it happen in cars and everything else. But you cannot go and take one example and generalise across an entire block where Brazil itself is bigger than Europe. Argentina is the eighth biggest country in the world. So you combine that with Paraguay and Uruguay, and you have to look at the broadest sense and try and get a genuine, objective view on what's actually happening.
Okay, Sean, there's a vote. I don't know if it's February or March, if it's been set yet. Does that vote even matter? Because the European Council can go ahead and start implementing the deal short of that vote. There's pressure coming again from the IFA. They had the AGM in Dublin yesterday. Francie O'Gorman saying the government need to do more. They need to try and push opposition ahead of the European Parliament vote.
You're right. Technically speaking, the European Commission could apply the Mercosur deal now that it has been agreed by the Council. But that would be unwise. And also they said they don't intend to do it, that they will wait for the European Parliament to vote. As of now, I would say it's 50-50 at most whether Mercosur will be passed not in the European Parliament. Because in my experience in Parliament, no matter what trade deal we did, 40% voted against. So if you have 40% against any deal because they just vote anti all the time, then a majority is going to be difficult to get in that regard. But we will be voting more than likely. There's a vote next week on whether we should refer it to the court to see if the procedures followed by the Commission correct. If that vote is rejected by Parliament, then we'd probably be voting in February. If that vote is successful in Parliament, it would have to go to the court, and that could take months, possibly longer.
So there might be a longer wait before the final vote comes before the EU. Will you be voting in favour of it? I take it you will.
I didn't say whether I would or not. I'm looking at it. I have an obligation, as per the rules of the European Parliament, to look at the aspects and to vote what I think is best. I've always done that. I defied my group and I paid a big price for it in relation to nature restoration. I did the same in relation to TPPD. But at the end of the day, I vote conscientiously. I look at all the facts and figures. I won't be swayed by pressure or by emotion. I look at the facts, I look at the figures, and I look at what the outcome is going to be. And if you recall, Jerry, which is slightly different, when I was involved with President of the GAA trying to open Croke Park, there were people saying that if we open Croke Park, there's going to be the end of the GAA. Is that what happened? I don't think so. So you have to try and make up your mind based on your own assessment, listening to all sides of the debate.
Yeah. Was not enough, final point in the chat, was not enough done in the read-up to this debate by the other side or by the all sides, whether it was business groups or indeed the government in talking about the other sides of the deal? The business side of it, the export
correct.
Side of it, other sectors of the economy that will benefit.
You're absolutely correct, and I mentioned in Parliament 2 or 3 months ago that not enough was being done. And we'll be meeting Ursula von der Leyen in our group meeting in an hour's time, and I'm going to repeat that point to her. Because I said to her and others a year and a half ago that the advantages and disadvantages need to be discussed and prioritised. Now, it may not be their fault entirely, in the sense that it is easier to give publicity to protest marches and negativity than it often is to positive messages. But at the same time, I agree, not enough certainly was done. Anybody I spoke to over Christmas, we discussed it, and some of them, lots of them were farmers. When I would say to them, these are the facts and figures as I see them, they'd say, how come we never had that? So you're absolutely right, Jerry. You have to try and be fair to everybody, get every viewpoint across, and then let people make up their own minds.
Okay. All right, Sean, we're going to leave it there for now. We'll see what happens with that vote next week and with where it goes in the European Parliament. But thanks for taking the time to talk to us and give us your view on the programme this morning.
Anytime,
that's Ireland. That's Ireland. Good morning. That's Sean Kelly there, Ireland MEP for Ireland South for Fine Gael.